And also, as you probably have already seen, I am without my wife. So, oh my gosh, you never know how much something means to you until they're not there to give you that helping hand. She's at work, so please keep her in your prayers as well, as she works with the military and doing the mortuary affairs there. And just thank you, everyone, for being there for me and encouraging me. The Lord says so. We are almost done. We are almost done. It will be. Everyone's invited to the graduation. All right? All right. So without any further ado, let's get started. I got a lot to say, so let's get started. What do people want? When we think about what people want, what is it? Some people say they want a nice car, they want a nice house, they want various things, they want a man that has a nice job and got a couple of stars on his uniform, maybe. And, you know, maybe a nice, beautiful woman that cooks and cleans or whatever the case is. But at the end of the day, when people say what they want, they ask what they want, it all boils down to one thing. They really just want to be happy. That's what it boils down to. Who wants to be happy? All right. So that's really what it boils down to. Everyone just wants to be happy. You just want some happiness in their life. And if you don't want happiness, we can talk later afterwards, but most people just want to be happy, and not just for the moment. They want it for a long time. They want it to last, right? They want that happiness to last, and the only problem with that that we see is that happiness is an emotion, and we're emotional creatures, right? Y'all can say amen if you need to. Like if you've been married, you know that your spouse is very emotional. I'm not just talking about the women. The men folk, I know I'm emotional. My wife don't kiss me in the morning. I'm like, baby, you left without saying bye. She's like, I had to go, baby. You're fine. But we're emotional creatures, and there's things that happen in our lives that may spark a certain thing that may change that emotion from happiness to something else, right? Because we're, like I said, we're emotional, and we don't have something that can keep emotion in check all the time, right? There's things that go on in life. I mean, if you want to be real about it, realistic about it, you know that there's things like pain and various anger and stuff like that we go through. We're supposed to go through those emotions, and it's okay. It's okay to experience those emotions. Matter of fact, I would even argue it's even healthy. Like if you're dealing with a loss or you got some bad news, like the IRS wants a couple $1,000s out of your check, that's going to be saddening. Some people may be actually angry about that. And that's okay. That's okay. Because that's natural emotion, right? Even your forefathers of America knew that that was something that was fleeting. They said life, liberty, those are check. And then they said happiness, you can pursue that. You can chase after that. We're not going to promise that one. Why? Because it's fleeting. All right? And so there's something about happiness that we just can't always keep a hold of all the time. It comes and goes. And that's okay, but it comes and goes. But there's something I have for you. There's something that God has for you, if you will, that you can hold on to. And that's some joy. That's joy. Anyone need some joy? If you're like me, you know you need some joy in your life. And because life don't always give you the cards that you want to play with. Okay, I'm talking to somebody. Life doesn't always deal you the cards that you want to play with. And some of y'all, if you're really honest about yourself, you seem like I'm a spades guy. Anybody play spades? Seems like you got one or two spades in the deck. And you're like, why? Who dealt this hand? And for many people, happiness for them is them aspiring or looking toward their future. Sometimes people are going through things, and they're saying, if I can just make it to that, then I'll be happy. If I can just get this, I'll be happy. Or even sometimes we're looking in the past, and we're saying, Man, those are some good days, the good old days. I knew I was getting old when I started saying back in my day. I was like, I need to stop. Y'all frowning at me, but like, look, I feel it. I hit 25 and my knee started to pop. I was like, that's not normal. So, y'all can laugh at me if you want to, but look, I feel it. I told myself I'm going to get out and exercise. But in spite of that, though, in spite of that, because we want to have that happiness, there's some things that need to happen. And stay with me. This joy that we want to experience that surpasses this happiness, that brings that idea, is what we want to have. That's what we're looking for, church, that joy. Because the experience, someone said that hope is when you bring the joy from the future to the present. I'm going to say that again. Someone said that hope is when someone is able to bring the joy from the future to the present. And I would argue that that's what God wants for us. In this time, he wants us to know that joy, to see there's something different about joy. Joy is inspired and grounded by hope and is tempered by peace. I'm explaining what I mean by that in a minute. Joy has something backing it up. In Romans 15, if y'all can go there with me, if you want to, Romans 15, chapter 15, verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. There's something behind that. That's because joy without peace and hope is just plain old happenstance happiness, because it goes back and forth. Let me paint the picture for you. So happiness oftentimes is caused by the good state of being because of our situation. We are in a good state of being because of our situation. That means that when I get my sandwich and I bite into it, I'm happy because I've been starving all day, right? But joy is the good state of being in spite of my situation. Now, let me clarify. That doesn't mean that because you have joy, you're not going to feel some things. It's not going to hurt a little bit. You're not going to, not everything's going to be perfect. But what we're saying is, because I have hope, because I have peace that surpasses all understanding, therefore, no matter what comes, I can count it all joy. That means that when I am driving from D.C., Brother Tom knows about this. When I'm driving from D.C. and I got to deal with the D.C. drivers, y'all know about the D.C. drivers, the D.C. drivers and the D.C. traffic, and folk don't know how to drive, they don't know how to signal, they're cutting you off, and you're looking at a cop like, cop, you saw that, right? And they you know, they don't act right, you ain't eating all day, and you know, you're thinking about just getting home. I just need to get home. And then your wife calls you and said, baby, and you're hungry, you're starving, you ain't eating all day. And your wife says, baby, I know you had a long day. I made you a sandwich, it's waiting in the fridge. Now, see, that's joy, because I know when I get home, I got a sandwich waiting on me. So my drive there, I'm like, okay, just get home. All I need is just to get home. That's joy. I am anticipating. I have hope. I am anticipating something in my future. And because I had that hope, I'm going to drive a little bit differently than people that don't have that hope. They don't got a sandwich waiting at home for them. You know, so I have a little bit more patience. I was like, you go head on. I'm driving. I don't need to get in no accidents. I don't need no tickets. I need to get home. There's a different drive. There's a little pep in my step, right? There's a little glide in my stride, right? Why? Because I have some hope. I'm anticipating something. Even though I'm hurting, even though I got a little bit of a hunger headache, I have some hope. And that's joy. It grounds me. In spite of the pains I'm going through, I'm going to make it. I'm going to be okay. Is that all right? And so The question is, though, how do we experience this joy, right? How do we experience this joy, preacher? Well, I'm glad you asked. Go ahead and dive in with me. I want you to dive in with me to Luke chapter 18. We're going to start at verse 1. I don't know if everyone can see that. Try to fit it all in, but the Lucas chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, and we're going to start at verse 1. And then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always. Y'all can go ahead and underline that. And not lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my opponent. For a while, he refused. But later, he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will come quickly, grant justice to them. Now, what are we saying here? There's something about what's being said here. So one thing that we can do to experience joy, it was at the beginning, I told you to underline, is Jesus said to always pray. Pray always. And when we don't do that, you might find yourself feeling and acting like this guy. Some of y'all may know who he is, right? And if you ever been in a situation where you've seen people going this way, they acting this, they just grumpy for no reason. Hey, how you doing? Okay, all right. You know, I used to be that way because the military had me getting up at 3:00 in the morning. That's such an ungodly hour. No one was up. The birds wasn't up. At 3:00 in the morning. And to get ready for work, to be at work at 4:00 in the morning. And boy, I just wasn't in the spirit. So some people are morning people. I'm not. I'm just not a morning person. And my coworkers say, hey, Maddox. And I'm like, And it's not because that was my personality. I was just sleep deprived. I was upset that my alarm clock went off. I was hoping every time my alarm clock went off that it was a mistake. I was just hoping that something went wrong. And maybe I had another hour of sleep. And you know, that's what happens when you don't have some sleep. And if I had it my way, I would just take a nap. And sometimes in our Christian walk, y'all, we need to take a nap. Is that all right? Some of us just need to take a nap. You cranky because you don't have no nap. You don't have no nap time. All right, you don't have no nap time. Y'all awake? Y'all with me? All right, talk to your neighbor. Look to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, we need a nap. We need a nap. Because sometimes we need to nap. And what we're saying here is that we want to never abrogate prayer. That means we want to always be in prayer. We want to always be in prayer. We want to pray without ceasing. If we want to be honest with ourselves, if we really think about it, everything that we do should be about prayer, even this worship service, the singing and everything. Why? Because prayer is what? Prayer is a communication with God. It's that communion with God. And we need to always be in communion with God. Always be in communion with God. And so we want to keep in mind that we want to pray. We want to take a nap, if you will. All right? And sometimes, if you want to be honest about it, this constant praying thing is exactly what he wants. That's what he's talking about in the scripture. He's saying, look, don't bother me. It doesn't bother me that you want to talk to me. Matter of fact, I want you to bother me. Some of y'all sitting by a beautiful, intelligent woman right now, God-fearing woman right now, because you pestered her. Ooh, you was persistent. You was very persistent. And she finally said, okay. You was waiting. You said, you want to go out to eat? She said, no. You want to go out to eat? No. You want to go out to eat? No. And the fifth time, she was like, yes, fine. When can you pick me up? He said, I'm already outside. And you was ready. And God wants you to be the same way. God wants you to be the same way. I don't want you to think that I'm too busy for you. Bother me. Bother me. Because I have something for you. Is that all right? I want you to be persistent. God wants to see that effort from us. So we want to be in consistent prayer. So what does that mean? We want to never abrogate prayer. All right? And sometimes, and I know there's always people that, oh, well, my prayer life is always strong. And that's true. Some people may have that prayer life. But like I said before, prayer is a communication. And communication is not a one-way thing. I'm going to say that again. Communication is not a one-way thing. It's a two-way street. So we need to speak to God. A lot of times we just speak, we just talk to God. But we don't take the time to listen. All right. We don't take the time to listen. We pray. We talk. But we haven't thought. We haven't sat, meditated on what. Sometimes we just need to stop. And sometimes God will reveal to us exactly what he needs for us to do. Exactly what we're asking for. Sometimes we're too busy going on about our lives, and exactly what God has for us, we just walk right by because we didn't take the time to stop. We're not listening. We're not looking. We're just talking. It's a two-way street. So my first question would be, are you communicating? Are you truly communicating with God? And if that is the case, then maybe there's something else that is the issue. Let's dive into the rest of Luke 18. And he told another parable. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, and even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. All who exalts himself will be humbled, and all who humbles himself will be exalted. And there's something I wanted to pull out here. The one man, the one that should know better, is a little overly confident and is doing a little extra. He's not really being the person that God really needs him to be. If we really want God to lift us up, everyone, then we have to let everything go. He was holding on to some things. He's like, I thank God that I'm not like them, and I'm this and I'm that. He was holding on to some things. We got to check that ego at the door. We got to check the ego at the door. Yeah, we've been in the church 20-something years. Some folk been in longer than I've been alive. But, hey, you got to check that ego at the door. You got to check the ego at the door. Why? Because we do not want to be like this Pharisee here. And sometimes when we do that, we can become irritable. We can become a little grouchy, right? When we think that we have it all together, we become a little pretentious. And sometimes, if not all the time, that can be a problem. And we fail to do the things that we need to do. And keeping with this allegory, we need to, if you're already napping, if you're already getting your sleep in, if you're already getting your prayer life in, then sometimes, if you like my wife and my daughter, you may have an attitude because you need to eat. You need to eat. And what the story is saying is, we saw that the sinner did what? He fell on the ground and he completely emptied himself. He humbled himself. And that's what we are called to do. As Christians on today, we want to completely humble ourselves, literally empty ourselves out so that God can fill us again with God's word, love, hope, and peace. Is that all right? And but sometimes we pray and we pray and we're wondering why God hasn't answered this prayer. And sometimes he's just waiting on us to completely empty ourselves out. Sometimes we're still holding on to that that haughtiness, that that self-righteousness, and we're still thinking that we got it all together. And he said, no, I need you to get rid of that too. It's kind of like a cup, kind of like this cup right here. If it's my day to do the dishes, I'm not going to get a new cup. I'm going to get a cup that's on the counter. And I'm going to rinse it out and clean it out. No, I'm not going to dirty up another cup. No, matter of fact, nobody is. You're using the same cup. Everyone using the same cup. And so what you want to do is, though, before you put something else in it, you got to do what? You got to clean it. You got to get everything out of it. Especially if it, especially if you're drinking after your child. You know, kids are nasty, especially if they're eating. You got to clean that out. Why? Because if you pour something else in it, it will do what? Contaminate or taint what you put in. Sometimes you think it's clean, but because you haven't properly cleaned it out, you pour your purified Brita water in there, and you see little floaties of cookies and crackers and everything. And your water's contaminated. Sometimes God is waiting for you to empty yourself out so what he has, the pure stuff that he has to give and fill you up with, will not be contaminated. And so when you go out and talk to people and you show that light and you being that light of the world that you're supposed to be, it's pure. And what they see is God. They see Jesus, not the little floaties in the cup, right? Not your little haughtiness, not your self-righteousness, not your little pride that you got because you've been in the church for 25 years. No. It's just pure. Because you allowed yourself to be completely emptied out so that God can fill you up with everything that he has to give you. Is that all right? And so what we want to do is we want to keep this idea in mind. We want to have joy. We want to have joy so that when we go through things like this, when we're going through life, we want joy because when we're going through life, we know that life is not, you know, it's not all peachy keen. Everything's not going to be a sunshiny day. There's going to be some storms. There's going to be some clouds. There's going to be some things, tribulations that we're going to have to deal with. But when we have joy, we'll be able to go through it. We have that hope, right? And one thing to keep us focused and grounded is that nap. We need that nap. We need to pray. We need to make sure our prayer life is together, right? And we need to eat. We need to empty ourselves, get rid of all that stuff, and allow God to fill us up with everything that we need to continue on and be the light that he wants us to be. And so if that is you on this morning, if you have any identification with that, then I want you to really meditate on what is being said on this morning. Is that all right? I want you to think about, are we really napping like we should? Or are we really napping like we should? You may think you are, but talk to one of your close friends. They may tell you, no, you need some more sleep. Are we napping like we think, like we really are supposed to be? And are we eating like we're supposed to be? Are we really allowing God to transfer, are we allowing ourselves to be emptied and so God can transfer his love and his hope and his peace inside of us? Okay. That's all I have. If you are on here on this morning and this rings a bell for you or you think you may need some prayer in these areas, I welcome you. I challenge you to come forward as we sing the song, but I want you to really think about this, because you don't have. Sometimes we play with God tomorrow, the next day. We have this moment now. We have this moment now, and I beseech you to really think about your prayer life and your eating habits. Is that all right? And if you're on this morning and you haven't actually been washed, if you haven't been cleaned, if you haven't emptied yourself out and been cleansed by the blood of Jesus so that you can be filled, then I invite you to come and do that. We have the water ready. If you've heard, you've heard the word. And all you have to do is believe it, repent, confess openly, and we'll baptize you right here. And that's where you'll meet the blood. That's where you'll be cleansed. That's where you'll be cleansed and be ready to be filled. All right? If you fall in any of these categories, I invite you on this morning as we stand and sing.